You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Researchers from the University of Otago are well on their way to developing new biomaterials that will help grow new teeth. The research offers huge potential for people with dental health problems and has just received a $1.65 million Explorer grant from the Health Research Council. I caught up with researchers Azam Ali and Carl Leons earlier this morning to talk about the biomaterials, how they'll work, and why this research is so significant.
So you know the background that dental caries remain a major public, the health concern in not only the nationally, internationally, and all around the world, right?
Totally, yeah.
Yes. So therefore, we thought there is a big gap on the research on that space, and we as a scientist or researcher, we need to do something on that space. And therefore, we thought how we can make some sort of novel materials. That materials will comprises some sort of biological functionalities, some sort of antibacterial or antibug type of functionalities, as well as mechanical, the hardening type of properties, like, the mineralizing teeth, which has a lot of pulp and dentin and the enamel. So we try to produce some sort of materials source from natural, mostly a natural source, we call the biopolymer or natural polymer, and some sort of antibacterial additives on that we will add in there, and also some sort of providing the mechanical support to add some sort of ceramic or bioceramic type of materials to make a system which will ultimately add in into this, the defect teeth, or the teeth has a, the disease, or teeth has no function, then we add that materials. Therefore, that materials will recruit a cell in situ within this, the tissue when you implant it in there, and then they will do their mimicking, the mimicking process to produce a kind of, the mineralized teeth-like materials on there.
Right, so the biomaterial that you're creating just basically mimics the cells and then regenerates...
A tooth,
right, I see.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is why I'm explaining the biomaterials we are producing. It is a novel which have multiple functionalities. As I explained, that biological functionalities which will regenerate the tissue, antibacterial or antifungal properties will kill the bug, and the solid materials we want to add as a filler or a additive which will provide a mechanical support.
And so what are the potential uses of a discovery like this?
Okay, so the one of the other things that Azam hasn't said is that the idea for this project came one day when we were talking about, wouldn't it be great to for there to be a material where we could regenerate or regrow teeth? And as Azam and I talk, he has the materials knowledge with the materials that we think could be successful or suitable for doing that. So the aim with this particular grant from HRC provides us with the funds that we need to develop the material. The aim, and there's quite a lot of work that needs to be done, because putting fillings into or anything into the mouth is, the mouth is a pretty tough environment. It has big temperature ranges. The teeth generate a lot of force.
And acidic.
It's very acidic. And so on. So, the skills that Azam have with developing a material that will survive in that particular environment, as well as have the properties that a dentist needs to be able to put a filling material in the teeth, is really what we are doing in the first part. But ultimately, that was where we started. That was our question at the very beginning. Can we make a material that can regenerate teeth? And we think we can, but this grant is what will provide us with the funds that we need to start the process.
Awesome. So how will this potentially be used in the future? Like, what sort of benefits will it have to people?
Well, I mean, the thing that we're really excited about, if this is successful, is that, you know, as Azam mentioned, that dental decay is one of the most common chronic diseases in the world. And there's been quite a lot in the media in New Zealand with water fluoridation and with decay in children and that sort of thing. And we're just examples of what it's like in many parts of the world. And so really there's a multifold approach that we would like to do. One is that, you know, we'd like to develop a material that we can, if someone has a hole in their tooth from decay, we'd like to be able to develop a material that we can just put into that hole without the need to do any drilling. So that's the no drill, no fill. It's a, you know, rather than having to get numbed up and for the dentist to need to use drills to remove the diseased tissue to then put a filling in, we are aiming or hope to develop a material where that's not necessary or is minimal. And also in other areas where teeth have perhaps chipped or broken, that we can put this material in and it will help sort of regenerate the tooth that's been lost. And even if that's not successful, our aim is to produce a material that is tooth-coloured and has really good properties to survive in the mouth, so that it would be a suitable alternative filling material for dentists.
Right, so it would be better than a filling material that's used at the moment because it's maybe an easier process, or like why would it be better?
Well, better because, you know, the aim is that it's a material that is
multifunctional.
That's a multifunctional material. It's strong, it bonds to teeth. So, and the reason that you want fillings to bond to teeth is to just reduce or eliminate the risk of bacteria being able to leak in between a tooth and a filling once it's placed. Also, there's very few filling materials that are available that are antibacterial. Glass ionomer cement is one. And we want to develop a material that will kill bugs, so that even if there is a need for some drilling, if there's some bacteria left behind, this material will kill those bugs. And a material that's easy to place for dentists.
Point out in here, I think in the beginning, as I said, the materials we are going to develop will have some sort of multifunctional properties. Therefore, the difference between the existing materials, not only is a better, also it has a capability to produce or regenerate the teeth-like tissue in situ within this area where there's a defect.
Cool. So what are the next steps in the timeline of the project? So can we see the regrowth of teeth happening in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think it is a realistic what you said, that because it is this Explorer grant, we started the process, as Professor Carl also said. And next phase is we will progress for, as you know, that it needs a number of phases. We will do this, the in vivo animal trial, then subsequently a human trial. And then I think realistically 4 to 5 years or maybe more will require, because therefore, and after that we have to look at the partnering, because we will not produce this material as a manufacturer. So there is a number of pathways, but what you propose about 4 to 5 or maximum 10 years, I think, we are very optimistic that within this time frame we will be able to produce this kind of materials and the teeth.
That's right. I mean, the funding for this grant is for 2 years for the development of the material, and so by, you know, during the process of the next 2 years, we will start to get an idea of how long we think it's going to take to develop.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.